The Daily Connect Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Connect Podcast. It's Stephen Scott here with you for Wednesday, the 15th of August. Great to have your company. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the opportunities in visually impaired sports following the announcement of a few taster days that are being run by British Blind Sport. There's also a chance to catch up with our own Nikki Kelly following her trip to a working age forum where she met people trying to get into employment. And we hear some real and raw views about sight loss following our question last week asking, would you want your sight back? It's a rather interesting story. We'll be getting to that right here on the Daily Connect podcast today. But first, we start off with news that RNIB, as you might know, offer a wide range of services and support to people who are blind or partially sighted. Well, while that may not be news itself, these services do often improve people's confidence, allowing them to get on with their lives and often try new things. Rosa Gomez got involved with her local campaigns team at the charity, which helped grow her confidence, which meant that she went on to stand as a local councillor. Rosa was elected to the position in her local ward in Redbridge in Surrey, and thanks the charity for their support.
I am registered blind. I've no sight at all. I was introduced to the RNIB some years ago and I began to receive assistance such as the telephone counselling scheme, which was of enormous help. I got involved initially because before I was a very active person, politically active in my work. I was a manager, I worked in the refugee sector, I worked with my local community. So the thought I couldn't do all these things affected me profoundly. So I started to get involved. I wanted to be a voice. I wanted to do things. I wanted to be out there. I wanted to be seen and I wanted to help. I've always been a people's person. So being active in my community was paramount and that was my thing. As we would say back home, I was in my salsa then. That was very much me and I could identify myself. And my sight was no longer an impediment. I was able to tap into my previous skills, into all the things I did. I had a life once more. When the RNIB organised this civic leadership programme, I applied for it and I came along to that. And the CLP campaigning there was one of the things that encouraged me and gave me food for thought that I could do it all over again, that I could get politically involved and be a voice, not just the wider community, but in particularly the VI community and the disabled community in my area. Following the campaign run by the RNIB, I was very active in contacting my local authority when there were things that would enable me to walk safely, such as objects that were placed inadvertently on my way, but overhanging vegetation, walking on paths where, and this is very typical really of there where I live, it's the vehicles parked on part of the pavement and on the other side overhanging vegetation. So getting attacked by overgrown shrubs and having to go on the road in order to get from A to B. Certainly looking at the employment side of it, that we need to campaign for more employment to be available, educational as well, to open up more opportunities for people to study and get into college and universities. Also for us to be seen more, to be heard more. The RNIB was here for me from day one and is still here today. We're important members of the community. We are taxpayers and we've got to have a say and we've got to be behind the RNIB as well.
Great to hear Rosa Gomez there talking about her experience with RNIB. And you can share yours by getting in touch. Email radio@rnib.org.uk.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
Now, you might not be aware of this, but there's lots of opportunities out there for blind and partially sighted people to get into sport. Now, some of those opportunities are available from the organisation British Blind Sport. And Logan Gray works there and tells us now about what's on offer through their visually impaired taster session days.
What we try to do with these events is to bring together the local organisations, the local sight loss association, local sports clubs, the county sports partnerships to deliver these events in partnership. And basically, we want to create a platform to showcase the local activities that we're confident the visually impaired people can go along and enjoy and have a great experience. And the sports that we choose to deliver at these events, we only deliver the ones where we know that there are good exit routes for them to go and continue on a sustainable basis. We certainly wouldn't put on a sport in an area at one of these events where we know that it's just going to be a little bit of a taste, and then we have to say, sorry, but you can't do that anymore. There's no provision in this area. So we are quite strategic in how we deliver them. It's not just the traditional sports that you associate with visually impaired sport, things like goalball and football, for example. One of the fastest growing VI sports in the UK is tennis, and we have them at most of the events. Golf, running, tasters to promote our Find the Guide service, our website that matches guide runners, archery, judo, all sorts really. There's no limits to the activities that we put on at these events. It's very much led by what the local community are looking for. What British Blind Sport's all about is just trying to get people be a little bit more active, get them to enjoy some of those benefits that you mentioned earlier. Basically give people the option to compete at whatever level they want to. So they can of course just start off doing it on a regular basis, and if they show a bit of ability in a certain sport, then we'll definitely help them kind of move on to more performance stuff. But it's at the participant's discretion as to how high a performance level they go to or want to go to. We delivered some in an open day kind of format where people could just kind of rock up and go along to the activities that they wanted to do. And this might sound a little bit harsh, but we want people to do activities that they don't want to do as well or didn't know that they might really enjoy. So we try to use a timetable scheduled kind of approach. And of course, people will get to do the activities that they want to do, but they might get to try some other ones as well that they never knew or never thought of doing, and you never know, it might be that one that they actually take forward and decide to do on a regular basis after the event. You can sign up for free on our website. If you need a little bit of extra assistance to complete the registration form, you can phone in as well. So our website is britishblindsport.org.uk, and you can call us on 01926 424247. And lastly, if you need any help getting to the events, we do put on a meet and greet service from all of our events, from the nearest subway station, train station, bus station, whatever. The volunteers will meet you there and make sure you get to the event safely and confidently.
Thanks to Logan Gray for telling us about the visually impaired taster days that are coming up. If you want more details on them, then all you've got to do is search online for British Blind Sport.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Now, you might remember that on last week's programme, we talked about a new book called The Rules of Seeing by Jo Heap. The book is all about a woman who regains her sight later in life, despite her being blind all of her life to that point. Her experience is not what people might expect, and in the end, she wishes for her vision to be gone again. The book has sparked a lot of reaction from the blind and partially sighted community, as I'm sure you can imagine. Lots of you have been in touch to share your thoughts on whether you would want your sight back if you got the chance. For this week's World Connect, we hear from our listeners all over the globe, from America to Australia and everywhere in between. It's clearly an emotional issue for many of you, as we hear now.
Hey Stephen, good to hear from you. I actually been listening to the radio station here on Google Home, so definitely following you guys on Twitter as well. That's a very interesting question, because this is talking about my experience, I guess, because I had vision at one time. So I lost my vision 7 years ago, and if I had the opportunity to get my vision back, oh yes, definitely. Now, as far as what your question you're asking is, someone who was born blind that was never really able to see, that's very interesting. If it's something that they're not used to, I could see where that may be a shock to somebody, because in the visual world of having vision, there's a lot of information being taken in with your eyes and just everything. Now that I see totally nothing, total darkness is black. But no, from a person who had vision at one time, yes, I would definitely take it back if I had that opportunity.
Hey Stephen, good morning. This is Ace from Texas. I lost my sight only a year ago, so if I had the opportunity to get my sight back, I would most definitely do it. Losing my sight has been an experience. It's been a great experience, to be honest. I mean, I've had to overcome a lot of challenges and stuff, but I've been able to do it. But, I mean, to get the opportunity to get the sight back, I would not miss a chance on that. I know there's been quite a few people who have answered saying that they wouldn't, but I think it's just because they're so comfortable with their life the way it is. Or maybe some people just think that they've accomplished so much being blind that they don't think they possibly could accomplish as much as a sighted person. But I mean, if you have the opportunity and you have the drive to go and succeed, sighted or blind, I think you can do it. But I guess on my part, I would definitely want to get my sight back. Especially, I mean, I think the main reason why is just to watch my family grow up, my little brothers grow up, and stuff like that. Everything else is just supernatural, but my family, it's been really hard this past year not being able to see them grow up and change and, you know, growing height and stuff. So, yeah.
I would say just a bit enough to walk without a cane. I became blind completely in 2010. Before that I had a sight, and due to glaucoma, pressure was too high, so damage was done. I lost my mom, I lost a friend, I lost a job, lost too many things. If I get sight back, I don't think I'm going to get them back, can I? It's all gone. So I just want a bit of, just to manage walking. Yeah, I'm used to the dark now.
I would want my vision back if I could get it, sure. I think it would make life a bit simpler, but I don't know. I think it'd be a little strange as well, since I haven't been able to see since I was in my late teens. So basically the world stopped for me visually back in 1980 or so, 81. But I'd like to give it a go, yeah, I would.
It's a very hard question to answer, to be quite honest. There are times when I would want it, and there are times when I wouldn't. I was born totally blind, but there have been times when I have wished for vision to come back, and there have been times when I have wished just to stay as I am. It's a very difficult question. I think it changes depending on what situation you are in with your lifestyle or what's happening at the time. Even instances where there might be a particular event on a certain day, you think, gee, it would have been nice to have seen that. But you live with the reality that you can't, or I live with the reality that I can't. And then you think, oh, well, my vision ain't coming back anytime soon, so I'll worry about it the next time that there's an event on that I wouldn't mind seeing. So my answer is sometimes yes and sometimes no.
Hi, Stephen. It's Gordon from Scotland here. In answer to your question, yes, I would most definitely want to get my sight back. I used to be able to see, but I suffer from RP and I'm now completely blind, have been for a few years now. I know it's not going to happen, I'm never going to get my sight back, but if some miracle did occur, then I would have no hesitation in going for it, just to be able to see my family again, let alone be able to live a more normal life, would be absolutely fantastic. So it's a yes from me.
Yes, I would love to be able to see again. I was born with RP, and I couldn't see very well at all. My parents found out when I was, you know, running into things. And now, you know, it never stopped me doing horseback riding, skiing. I had four brothers. They taught me well. Two older, two younger. I'm 62 years old now. And, you know, I'd have loved to see my children's faces growing up, and now my grandkids, and especially to go shopping. by myself, because I could look at anything and everything by myself. So yes, I would love to have sight.
Hey, I lost my vision about a year ago, and I would definitely want my vision back. Even though I think that people who are blind, like born blind and all that, and gotten used to being, or was living as a visually impaired individual all their lives, it might take some challenging getting their vision back, like at the age of whenever, like teens or in their 20s or whatever, because there's lots of things to get used to. Learning what color is what color, learning to write and all that, and reading and being able to identify letters and shapes and all that. So yeah, but I would definitely want my vision back. It ain't no fun, but one gotta get used to it.
Hey, how you doing? This is G-Man from New York. I'm 40 years old. I lost my sight 2 years ago due to a lady hitting me on my motorcycle. If I could get my sight back, I would definitely want to get it back. I feel that I had so much more to do as far as needing to be sighted to be able to do this and accomplish this. Certain things in my life. I lost a $100,000 a year job. I lost my fiance of 13 years. It took a lot from me. So yeah, if I could get my sight back, I would definitely want it back. And I don't think that's too much to ask.
Thank you for sharing your views, difficult as I'm sure that was. If you want to add your voice to the conversation, please do, radio@rnib.org.uk. We're also available on social media, @RNIBRadio on Twitter, and you can also find us on Facebook.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
Now, the Working Age Forum is only in its second session of its inaugural year, and already it's bringing blind and partially sighted people together to meet, share ideas, and even form business partnerships. Nikki Kelly attended the forum in the West Midlands, where she met organiser Josh Fian and speaker Blind Dave Healy, as well as attendees Alexandra Lucas and Laura Busby.
Hi, this is Nikki for RNIB Connect Radio. I am just on my way to the Working Age Forum in Birmingham City Centre. This is a fantastic group that's been set up by the Sight Loss Council that is there to help people of working age to mix with each other, socialise with each other and find out more about gaining employment. Really excited about this event.
My name is Joshua Fian. I work for Thomas Pocklington, and we're working on setting up the Working Age Forum across the West Midlands to give people of working age with sight loss an opportunity to network, get to meet people around a professional environment and listen to speakers to try and help to inspire them to either move into employment or take the next steps into up the career ladder.
So what made you want to arrange such an event?
Professionally and personally, I'm registered blind myself, and from a young age, looking to aspire to go on to do something interesting in my career, and looking for people to inspire me, that there was limited people out there, and as well as that, networks for people of working age who are professional with sight loss, there was nothing out there for me. So I wanted to, within this role, set something up for that across the West Midlands, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, it's brilliant. This is the second one you've ran so far. How do you find that they're going?
They've been a huge success, to be honest. We've got good involvement from the corporates around Birmingham to help to facilitate the events. We had over 50 people at the first event, and we're close to that for the second event. It's great to see new faces coming along as well. I think people are really enjoying the speakers that we're having and the types of things that we're putting on. So what people are telling us they want to learn about in terms of social media, networking and those types of things, we're trying to put on events to meet their needs.
Will you be running many more of these events?
So we'd hope to organise them every quarter, and I think as an organisation as well, we'll be looking to work to organise these all over the country moving forwards as well.
Do you have any dates for the next one at all, Josh?
I do indeed. So the next event will be held at Ernest Young in Birmingham on October the 25th. That's a Thursday between 6 and 8, and we'd love to see more people coming along. Thank you.
That's brilliant. Thanks so much, Josh.
I'm Alexandra Lucas. I've got optic nerve damage. My right eye is worse than my left, so I've almost got no central vision, and my periphery is quite blurred, but it's better than my central vision. My left eye is like looking through a dirty window all the time. My colours have changed, but it's still better than what some people would consider is blind.
Hi, I'm Laura Busby, and how I see is I have no peripheral in my left or right eye. My left eye is predominantly worse, and my central is quite hazy. And I find lights and different kind of like situations where the light's different, it really impacts on my eyes. Like now it's quite bright and airy in here. I'm really, really struggling, and my eyes get sore a lot. So it's generally quite blurry. So, yeah. It's like looking for a cloud.
Brilliant. So can you tell me what your thoughts are on the Working Age Forum? So I'm with you, Alex.
To be honest, I wasn't sure about it at first, and then I went to the first one and I was really inspired by all the stories, and that's where I met Laura, and we became friends. We found out we lived near each other and we were talking about our struggles with getting into work. So when we found out there was going to be another one, I was like, we've definitely got to go. And it's been really interesting, as inspiring as the last one. I'm thinking it's a really good way to get people talking about the biggest taboo of sight loss, which is the difficulty getting a job.
Yeah, and what are your thoughts on it, Laura?
The same as Alex, really. I mean, it's been fantastic getting to know a lot more people in the same or similar situations. Honestly, I feel like getting more employers involved will probably be a good push. And it's all about building confidence when you're trying to get back into work or trying to find a new job. And I think it's a brilliant way of keeping in touch with people. So hopefully there'll be another one. And again, the first one led me to Alex. So it's been great. Yeah.
Brilliant. So that's so amazing, because this is only the second one and you guys have already found a way to work together. So tell us more about what you'll be doing together.
So together we are launching a podcast, and it's going to be called Suddenly Sightless. It's going to be based around living as a mid-20-year-old girl, you know, day-to-day life, fashion, makeup, cooking, things you may struggle with generally.
Cooking?
Yeah, well,
I don't cook.
I love cooking, so there's many gadgets you can use. We're going to review some of the gadgets that we find as well. So I have these one-cup recipes, so instead of using scales, just find an average beaker and you can make anything. So I'm going to be sharing those with people, and Alex will be sharing all her amazing makeup tips and anything in fashion, because I know nothing.
That sounds absolutely brilliant. So you're going to be talking about makeup as well, Alex?
Yes, definitely, because one of the biggest things I struggled with, because I was a makeup artist before I lost my sight, and one of the biggest things I struggled with was, how am I going to do it to the standard that I'm used to? So I'm going to be talking about tips and tricks, ways that you can apply your eyebrows, whether you can see through a blurry haze like me, or whether you're completely blind. And me and Laura have been working together, so with any idea that we come up with, we've been testing it on each other, because our theory is, if we can get the other one to do it the way we are saying it, anyone who's listening can do it too. And ideally, we'd just like people to see that life doesn't end just because your sight has ended, and if we can do it, then any other person can do it too.
That's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you. No, that's absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. It's been lovely to talk to you.
And you, thank you. I'm here with the wonderful Dave Healy.
Yeah, the wonderful Dave Healy. I've never heard that one before, but most folks know me as Blind Dave, so that's me.
Yes, lovely to meet you, Dave. And could you tell us about your talk today?
Yeah, well, I was invited over by Josh to share a few of the stories, hopefully a few of the funnies, a few of the challenges that I've been a part of. Basically, where life has taken me into and out of employ, and where it's now sort of positioned me. And, you know, from when I could see to when I was losing my sight to jobs and careers that I've held, and now self-employed. Am I a motivational speaker? That's debatable. And I'm also apparently an author. because my book's out. But yeah, life's good. Life's good.
Brilliant.
But the most important thing for me is I'm earning my own corn.
Yeah, it's amazing. So why do you think events like this are important for the blind and partially sighted community?
Well, I think, like what's going to go on in a minute, I guess, a little bit of networking. And it's nice that, you know, you sort of involve yourself, which I don't too much, to be fair, with other blind people and groups, because I've had some bad experiences with the groups, you know, where, oh, well, it's me and I feel sorry for it. But this lot, they sound, you know, full of it and want to move on. And when you sort of with a group such as, and there's a lot of, for me, there's a lot of positive here. You know, there's no negative, there's positive. Yeah. So it's nice to be a part of this. But others I've never really bothered with before because I can depress myself without somebody else depressing me. But, you know, and I've always said life is for living. So and these lot, they seem like they want to live.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Dave. It's been, well, blind Dave.
Yeah.
Got to get it right.
Exactly. Forget the PC.
Yeah, forget the PC. It's been an absolute pleasure, blind Dave.
Thank you very much.
RNIB's Nikki Kelly reporting from the Working Age Forum in the West Midlands there.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Well, we thought we'd leave on a smile today, so we thought we'd talk about dogs. Guide dogs, in fact, yes. Pause for thought time. Robert Meikle joins me in the podcast studio. Hi to you, Robert.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. You've brought in a lovely, new, fresh out the wrapper guide dog to the studio.
I have fresh out the wrapper indeed. And her name is Winnie. She turned 2 3 weeks ago, and she has become quite quickly the star of my life, to be honest. I couldn't go anywhere without her now.
Ah, now this is exactly what I wanted to get into, because I'm going through this process, as you well know, at the moment. I've applied for a guide dog. I'm on the list. How long were you on the list for?
I was on the list for 3 years. Yeah, about 3 years. I had the assessment 2.5 years ago. So the waiting time was quite a while, but it's worth it at the end of the day, to be honest. I would go through it again if I have to. If I had to.
What? How long have you been with Winnie now?
I've been with her for, I would say, 5 weeks, but the training was 3 weeks ago, so we've had it at home for just over a week.
Okay, so 2 weeks at home. Let's talk about getting around with the guide dog. Uh-huh. You know, going from, you had a cane, white cane before?
I did. It was a long cane, rollerball cane.
Ah, the rollerball, my personal favourite, yes. Mushroom or ball, that's my question to most people. And only blind people get the answer to that. You know, it's like anybody else, like, what are you talking about?
I know.
It's the rollerball, which is great. It does make the cane a bit heavier.
Yeah.
Which has kind of affected me a little bit.
Well, I found near to my training, the cane itself was kind of getting to my wrist a bit. I found I was getting quite a bit of pain, which is unusual.
Sore, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's quite unusual because obviously I've been using that for the past, 8 years now. And at the start, obviously, you get the pain as well. And then it kind of just fades, and it's just part of your routine then. Because a lot of people will say to me, you know, oh God, you must have muscle Iron Man. But of course, that's not the case. I was beginning to get a bit of pain with it, so we had to do something with it. And fortunately, when he came around the corner, and she was the answer.
So talk me through that then. So from my, I'm just really interested in this from my own point of view, rather selfishly here, because I'm going to go through this process. What's that first day like when you go out on your own with your guide dog and you don't have the white cane anymore?
Well, it's strange. I suppose to answer that question, I would need to go back a bit. With the training itself, so the day that I started the training was the 16th of July, and I was there for 2 weeks, and it's quite intense, and you begin to learn drips and drabs about how to command the dog and certain rules and all the rest of it. So with that, we were going out with the trainer, and you slowly build those skills, you slowly develop those skills with the trainer. And it's always compared to driving, so it's always compared to learning to drive. You have an instructor when you learn to drive, and you learn over a certain number of lessons, and then bang, you have your test, and then you qualify, and then you get your license. And it's that first trip you need to make in the car on your own, and you're your own responsibility then. And it's the exact same thing. When I first went out with her on Friday with Winnie, it was very daunting, but it felt strange because I had the confidence, but there was also, like I say, there was that kind of daunting aspect to it. But yeah, with the cane itself, it's really strange coming away from it. And to be honest, now, 3 weeks in, I don't even think about the cane now. It's,
really?
No, it's completely way at the back of my mind now. To be honest, I couldn't even tell you what it is. It's in the house somewhere.
And a lot of people do carry it with them as well. You know, I think guide dogs do say, don't they, you should maybe carry it as a backup in case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe your dog could just stop one day and say, I'm not going any further forward for whatever reason. A friend of mine had this where she was going to the vet with her dog and the dog knew she mm-hmm. was going to the vet. So the dog would just not move.
Yeah.
And she was thinking, but you have to take me to the vet because you need to take me there.
Yeah.
So things like that can happen. But it's interesting to hear you talk like that. You've gone all in on this, haven't you? This is it for you.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, yeah. See, it's that kind of thing as well. I mean, I've got a clip on my pouch for the cane. So when I find it, after looking for it for maybe 2 hours, I'll clip it to that and that'll be me. I'll have that with it. So anytime I go out the door with her, it'll be on me with the pouch and everything else that she owns, everything else she needs because she's a wee diva.
What's your experience been of other people's of coming up to you? Do you get a lot of people approaching you now that perhaps before with the cane you might not have experienced? Or maybe you did, I don't know.
I do, actually. There's quite a few people that will come up. It's a strange dilemma that you face. It's the dog itself, when they're in harness, they can't associate people they can't associate people with fun or with, you know, association itself. So it needs to be that the dog is working. So if anybody does try to approach it, I will always try and fide in if I do notice it beforehand, with a quick, you know, oh, sorry, she is working. If I do see you later on, maybe when she's out of harness, she can get a wee pet then. But I would say to any of the listeners, if they do not know, that it is very important that if a guide dog is in harness and they are walking, do not approach. It's just best of practice, to be honest, just not to approach. I know they look cute and, you know, you probably think the tail's wagging and you want to just say hello, but they need to be focused. And they are not allowed treats, so don't be offering them anything sneaky.
They're well-trained animals, people know that. That's why I think people probably approach them more than any other dog. You wouldn't do that with any other pet dog.
No, of course.
And you would probably say to someone, is it okay if I, just in case the dog is a biter or whatever. You know, you would do that in any other circumstance, but with a guide dog, people just automatically assume, well, this dog is well-trained, everything's going to be great. I think it would be really interesting to catch up with you again soon, Robert, maybe, you know, maybe 6 months, for example, just to see where you are with it. Because
you're
going to learn a lot, I guess, through this process.
Well, I've learned quite a lot already. I don't know how much more my brain will be able to take, but we'll see. We'll see in 6 months' time.
But it's all good so far.
If it's imploded or not. Yeah, no, it's been completely fine so far. She's settled in perfectly well. We're both really comfortable. It's that thing as well of kind of creating a bond of trust and respect as well, and I think we've found that. So yeah, everything's went well. I'm chuffed. I'm really chuffed.
Chocolate Lab Winnie. She's gorgeous. Robert, thanks for bringing her in. Thank you for coming in as well. It's lovely seeing you.
Yeah, it's lovely seeing you too.
Thanks, Robert.
All right, thanks.
And that's it for the podcast today. The show's back tomorrow, 10 till 12, live on RNIB Connect Radio on Freeview Channel 730. Also online at rnibconnectradio.org.uk. It's also available on your smart speaker as well. Just say play RNIB Connect Radio. And we will catch you again very soon, right here on the podcast. Tomorrow, in fact, just after 5. The Daily Connect Podcast.